I have to thank the praise team again because they keep a song in our heart all week. Did you know we can praise our way out of any situation? Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor. Oh, Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. Another spiritual breakfast has been prepared, so let us get the meat of this word, because God will give us more and more grace and peace as we grow in our knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Today's message is titled, Humble Service. The text is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12, verses 3 through 8, and I'll be reading from the NLT. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen. Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers a message titled, Humble Service. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O, make it plain for us.
Amen. When she preached today, she said, go on, man, make it work. My man, sad. Make it work. Amen. Well, time for the Preach Word Comedy Show. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet again another opportunity to come out. And I don't mind saying that every single Sunday, Lord, because to get from one Sunday to the next, there's a whole lot of ups and downs, ins and outs, hills and valleys that we have to go through. There's a lot of trials and tribulations, but this morning we are of good cheer because through you and the power of the Holy Spirit, we've overcome all of that. And none of it was able to stop us from coming out to your house to give you some praise today. So we thank you, Father, that we get to come and commiserate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the only ones on the planet believing in you. And so we need each other because we're all going through. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, don't just pray for yourself, but pray for all the brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And today, Father, we're doing that. So in Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless these ears. So they hear your word today. Lord, bless this heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today. Change the way I think. So I can be transformed. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for us, for me. Amen. Amen. You know, amen. Let's do the review. I tried to skip it. Hey, pray for me. I'm learning how to be obedient, all right? I tried to skip it, right? Okay, we're going to do it different this morning because the Lord wants you to get this book in your head. Why? Because it is an excellent book for helping Christians, okay, and helping them to understand how they're saved and the responsibility they have to live with God. So you need to get this book in your head. And once you get this book in your head, do all the rest of them the same way. Go over and over and over. People wonder all the time. Every time I go anywhere and speak, I never ever use notes or anything like that. And people always wonder, how can you remember this stuff? How you got all this stuff in your head? Well, it's there because I get in it every day. I get in it in every way. And then when I get in the Word, I remember the Word, and somewhere in life, Jesus is going to show me how this thing works, what it looks like, what he's talking about. And then there's the next step, practical application. I have to apply it to my life. If you're reading the Word of God and you're not doing what you read, Lord have mercy. Amen. Probably not experiencing much change at all. Amen. Old folks simply said it like this. Every round goes what? Higher and higher. Amen. When I was studying Christian history on this little short man, I can't remember his name, so I'm going to call him Mr. Davis. Amen. But one of the things he taught us was the three ways that you could view Christian history. There was the pessimistic view. The pessimist says that we're going in circles, and first we ain't getting no better. Then there was the guy who said, well, I'm kind of optimistic and pessimistic. We're going in circles, but every round goes higher and higher. And then there was the one who said that we are only going to change as much as we allow Jesus to change us. So those were three different views that you could, amen, look at Christian history. So in this life, like the old folks say, every round seriously does take us closer and closer in our walk with Christ, be more Christ-like. Amen? So let's do it like this. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, we're going to link them together. We're going to link chapters 1, 2, and 3 to verse 19 in chapter 3. And what does Paul do in these three chapters? First, he lets them know Jesus is the only way to be saved. You know, a lot of Christians say it's 57 ways to be saved. That's a lie. That's a lie from Satan. Whoever you hear says that you could be a Muslim and be saved and go to the heaven where Jesus went to prepare a place for us, that's a lie. Or you could be a Buddhist, or you could just be anything. Or you could be like Carlton Pearson who said that if you were born after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, accept him or not, you say, that's a lie. Amen. We confess out of our mouths what we believe in our heart. Amen. So Paul says Jesus is the only way to be saved. So in chapter 1, he addresses the Gentiles. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. He addresses the Jews in chapter 2 all the way up until the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 3. And he tells them, look, God didn't give you the law to be saved, and you're not keeping it anyway. So you're out. And then verses 9 through 19 is his indictment against Jews and Gentiles. You're all under God's judgment. The wrath of God is being revealed. Why? Because you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans tells us in the latter part of chapter 3, so we're going to link the latter part of chapter 3, verse 20, all the way over to the end of chapter 5. We're linking them together. In chapter 3, righteousness by faith, right? We got righteousness by faith because we have imputed righteousness. We believe God's report concerning his only begotten son, Jesus. And God said, oh, you believe that? We said, yes, I'm imputing his righteousness to you. Yeah. And so we come to chapter 4, it's just as if we never sinned. So we have justification. We come to chapter 5, we have peace with God. Now we're going to link chapter 6, 7, and 8 together. In chapter 6, we get the mechanics of this new life. Out with the old, in with the new. You used to roll that way, now you're rolling this way. And in chapter 7, we get the conundrum. We're saved, but our flesh is not saved, so we got to fight. Amen. When Paul says, I fight the good fight of faith, he's not just talking about fighting other people who are wrong about Christ. He's fighting himself. And most of us, if we admit it, the fight is not with somebody outside of us. We're the ones that's messed up. And we love it. It's easier to say, Mother Martha, she's my problem. That's why I act like this. Amen. Mother Martha said, I just met you. I ain't your problem. Amen. No, we are our biggest problem. Amen. We are our biggest problem. So chapter 7 says we have to fight. And then chapter 8 reminds us there's no condemnation to nobody in Christ, right? If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Even if your family and friends don't like your walk with Jesus, think it's a little ganky, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But chapter 8 also tells us we can keep on living them dead works, and all they're going to do is produce death. Or we can get with God. In all our ways, we can lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, what? We look in the Word of God to see which way God wants us to go on this or that. And that's the way we go. But if we know what God said, and then we do other than what God said, if the Lord said, if thou eatest from that tree, thou shalt surely die, guess what's going to happen when you eat? Amen. So chapter 8 tells us that we have an obligation, not to the flesh, but an obligation to live this new life, to fight the good fight of faith. And when we mess it all up, neat, because sometimes we mess up, sometimes a lot. But anyway, all we have to do is what? Grab 1 John 1:9, reconnect to God. God reconnects to us, and we keep on walking. And he gives us this great assurance that nothing. Amen. God, I love verse 28 in chapter 8. And that one word in there that really gets me is God causes. See, everything is not good that happens to us. Pastor Terrence Tate preached a sermon yesterday, amen, talking about don't turn on God, thanking God, amen, even when you don't feel like it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so chapter 8 encourages us. It says over there that God causes. Amen. This stuff ain't good. He preached that sermon from, what, Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says give thanks in all things. And you're like, I ain't giving thanks for this toothache. But God causes all things to work together for your good. It might not be good, but if you listen and pay attention to God, keep your faith in him, he's going to cause it to be good. Let me give you an example. Paul and Silas went to Philippi doing what the Lord told them. They preaching the word. They got arrested. They got beat. They got thrown in jail. Now, what is the proper response to that? Crying, holding your head down, talking about, I'm just trying to do the will of God. They done beat the crap out of me. I don't think I'm going to do it no more. Amen. No, they sang praises to God at midnight. Now, why's God not? There was a horrible thing that happened. Nobody want to be beat, right? But watch what God does. The people in jail got saved. The jailer and his family got saved. Those same magistrates that threw them in jail came down there and escorted them out of town like they was dignitaries. See, it wasn't good, but God caused it to be good. And then at the end of chapter 8, he just simply assures us, amen, that nothing that exists between heaven and earth can separate us from God. That, Lisa, that includes everything. I mean, Deaconess Thornton, that includes everything. I can't separate me from the love of God with my craziness. Amen. People who hating on me because my walk with Jesus ain't like they think it ought to be can't separate me. Nothing can separate. As long as I grab 1 John 1:9, when I recognize I've messed it up and continue the continuity, can't be separated. God fixed this thing where we cannot mess it up. Because God know we mess up sometime a lot. Amen. Or am I the only one that mess up sometime a lot? Amen. Amen. So he got this thing fixed where we can't mess it up. But he, look, sin got consequences. So don't let the devil get it twisted talking about Jesus love you, and you know he love you. Don't do that. No, sin got consequences. The devil told me, you don't have to answer that show cause letter. Who are they? You Reverend Overall. You ain't got to show cause to nobody but Jesus. Amen. Then I got it in my head, Pastor Sarah. I went down there to show cause, and I was going to tell my mouth full of lies. By the time it was over, Nita, I was sitting the 6 months in the Detroit House of Correction. Amen. I'm like, that didn't work out right. Amen. But God calls it to work for our good. Amen. Oh, yes. He brought a whole lot of good. We was having prayer meetings. Amen. I met this other preacher, too. The devil had him locked up. Amen. He was locked up, too. But he was working in the warden's house. We got together, and we was having prayer meetings on the baseball diamond. We was just about on the sixth day, me and him was trying to get, because the warden liked him, so we was going to try to get the warden to let us use this empty barracks as a church. He got kicked. The devil kicked him out. And then came and got me on the eighth day. He kicked me out of jail. Amen. Why? Because the devil said, I worked hard to get these people in here. And here you up here with that Jesus stuff? You out. I don't need you in here. But my father wasn't real happy to come and get me because the devil didn't just let me go free. It was $1,500. Amen. He wasn't real happy about that, Ed. And on the way home, I'm Christian crazy talking about, you just let me the air. And he, I say another word all the way to the crib. Amen. I think he was not trying to hear that. Amen. Now, we go to chapters 9, 10, and 11. Three words I want to give you to cover 9, 10, and 11. Number one, election. God chose them. But they didn't choose him. So number 10, chapter 10, think rejection. They were going about to establish their own righteousness. Darius, they was going to say, Jesus, look at my goody two shoes. Can I come to heaven? Jesus was like, no, they ain't good enough. So Israel was going about to establish their own righteousness. They're going to live right. They're going to act right. They're going to talk right. They're going to walk right. They're going to act right on their job. And then they're going to stand up in front of Jesus at the white throne, the judgment, and say, can I come in? Your name not in the book. Your name must be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of those whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? Guess what? They're saved. Amen. Amen. And they have nothing to fear from. I'll never forget. Amen. Mary, when I first heard this, I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus. The first death is bad enough. What is the second death? How you going to imagine that? Y'all know how we feel about death, right? Is death your friend? No, nobody want death over there. How death come to the door and be knocking. Hey, it's me. Me who? Death. I just want to come in. No, I ain't home. Can't you see ain't no lights on? And then the lights go out. I ain't home. Amen. Death is not our friend. Amen. But guess what? There's a second death. You know what that is? It's what people wanted. Eternal separation from God. That's what they wanted. We don't want to. You know, when we was reading through Revelation, I like to say when I read through the Bible, me and Jesus walking through, because Sarah, I'd be stopping and saying, what is that? Amen. So we was walking through Revelation. And there were those folks who weren't saved. Amen. And I'm, because I wasn't understanding Revelation at first at all. I wasn't getting it. And there were some folks who was up here, and I came later to find out that that was the church. And then there was some folks down here, and those were the folks who hadn't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they were still down on earth. Amen. So Israel, long story short, Israel was God's elect. But in chapter 10, they were trying to establish a righteousness with God that did not work, that wouldn't get them from earth to heaven. And then in chapter, so the first word is what? Election. The second word is what? Rejection. And the third word is what? Restoration. That's how God is. Amen. He elected them, but they rejected him. But God has a plan to bring them in. You remember I talked to you about the sixth sign of the second coming of Christ, not the rapture, but the second coming? That's when they're going to come in. When the devil goes into the house through the Antichrist and declares himself God, well, the Jews are not going to go for that. And then the devil's going to go hard after them. But God's going to protect them. Some folks, some scholars say it'll be in a place called Petra in modern day Jordan, where it's about this wide to get in there. Okay? But it's huge once you get in. My wife's cousin went there and took some pictures and sent them to me so I could see what Petra looks like. Okay? And so it'll be easy for them to defend. I don't care if you got 2 million people. You cannot get 2 million people in this little space. So if they're on the other side with some guns, and as soon as these people step up here, what's going to happen? They get shot. So you can take 2-3 people and fend off 50,000 people. Why? That's what your boy Leonidas did. Y'all saw the 300, right? Where they fought at was called Thermopylae. It's a pass right alongside of a tall mountain. So you can only get so many men on the front. And that is why the 300 was really 2,000, because this had 1,700 hoplite soldiers. That's why they were able to defend for a while. Because even though Xerxes had a 2 million man army, you could only get so many on that front. And so the Greeks, when you would fight them, they would always find a place where you could not use the army that you were bringing against them. And so God has a plan eventually to bring Israel in, and then we'll all be one big happy family, right? I think it was a guy named Flame. He's a Christian rapper, or a Christian who raps. They fight about that. Amen. He said in one part of this song, I think it's the hook, is God's plan is to make from all nations one tribe. So he lets us know that in chapter 11. He says, God going hard after the Gentiles now, non-Jews, to bring them in. And then God's going to bring that remnant of Jews in during the tribulation period. And then we'll all be one big old giant happy family. Amen? And then we come to chapter 12. Amen, where we left off at. Well, chapter 12. And last week we talked about giving God our bodies. In other words, I was watching a slavery picture the other day, and when you were a slave, they owned you. And it was chattel slavery. It wasn't indentured servitude. They owned you. You woke up when they told you to get up. You ate what they gave you to eat when they told you to eat. You slept when they told you. You were owned. Okay, there was no way out for you, right? And so God says, look at it like that. I own you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. The precious blood of Jesus is what it cost for him to purchase you, purchase me, purchase us from the devil. He owns us. He can tell us when to get up, when to go to sleep, what to do and what not to do. Why? Because he owns us. But he's an awesome owner. He's a wonderful. Having Jesus as a slave master is awesome. Amen. He does everything and then empowers you to do anything he asks you to do. I love that kind of slavery. Amen. I could work for somebody like that. I don't never want to be free from his control. Because when Jesus he asked me to come up here and preach, guess what? He's doing the preaching. Because I'm scared to death. If you knew me, you would know I'm scared. A crowd to me is two people, me and somebody else. Then I get nervous. I start telling jokes. I start laughing and making fun. Why? Because I'm extremely nervous. So this is more than two people. Amen. It had gotten so bad in my preaching ministry that the Lord told me if I didn't start trusting him more and stop worrying about what people thought about me, that I was going to have to leave because my heart ain't the best. And I was stressing till my palms sweat. Have your palms ever sweated? Yeah, that's how bad it was. And he told me my concern was I care too much about what people think about what I'm saying. That's what he told me my concern was. So I had to deal with that. I had to get to the place. And then Deaconess Rebecca Jones, I went to the whole other extreme. Now I don't care what people say. Jesus is like, now you got to care what somebody, you just see the over here, over there. You just ain't never in the right place. Amen. Amen. And so God says, give me your body. Yeah. When your body gets ready to do something your mind, your will has decided to do, and your body's going to act that out. That's the part we call emotions. For instance, my mind says, we're mad. The will agrees with my mind and said, yeah, we mad. And now how are you going to know I'm mad? The Holy Spirit, well, not the Holy Spirit, but my emotions are going to give me a mad face. Make me talk mad. Make me talk with my lips looking funny. I'm real mad. All of that has been decided in here. Just like everything we see that happens on earth starts in heaven. Amen. And then it's acted out on earth. We learn that from where, Job? Right? God and the devil up there having a discussion. Did the devil say, if you let me get Donald Trump elected, your people will believe the world is over? Help us. Do you know how many Christians lost it because Kamala lost? Like, she was our great hope. She was going to fix the world. She was going to make everything all right. But now we're doomed. We're doomed. We have the devil for president. You better go ask Pharaoh what it's like dealing with God. Yeah, ask Pharaoh what it's like. Oh, yeah, go ask Sihon and Og. What is it like dealing with God? Go ask the walls of Jericho. What the walls of Jericho be like? Oh, no, don't bring him over here no more. Amen. What about all those nations that Joshua and them had to fight with, all those kings? Remember what the children of Israel said? They got armies over there. They got fortified cities over there. It's giants over there. And we look like grasshoppers to them. Well, they didn't make it because they ain't trust God. But the second generation, they kids, they did make it. And they went over there and crushed the giants. Your boy Caleb is the one who had to fight the giants because his plot of land was where they were. And he took them out. And guess what, mama? He was 85 years old. 85 years old, waiting on God's promise to him. And he aged didn't mean nothing to him. He ran straight up in there and got what God had for him. I think the song say, what God has for me is for me. Amen. So it don't matter how old I am. If God got it for me, you better give it up or I might have to take it from you. Amen. Check that in, homie. Amen. Amen. Run that back, homie. Run that at me. Amen. I watch a lot of TV. I really do. Amen. So he says, give me your body. That's your reasonable act of worship in view of my mercies. God's been merciful to you from the time you were born to the time you got it. Because guess what? You were born a sinner. But you probably didn't get saved as a baby. So God been merciful to you. Amen. All them days out there, sweet Jesus, God was merciful to me. I didn't even know him. I cussed him out, told him, I'm an atheist. Amen. And then God came and introduced himself and didn't kill me. He called me to preach. I just knew he was there to kill me. I'm like, you are for real and all that stuff. All the stuff I had said about God, I told him he was sick, twisted, crazy. You invent people and you let them go through pure hell, and then you do them like army men. You just tear them up and let them die, and then you make more, and you call yourself God? If you're God, if you're for real, I don't even want to know you. All the time, Need, I was hoping he would just do anything so I knew he existed, because everybody in my family knew him except me. Amen. My father would pray till the food turned into something else. Amen. Well, Denny Percy, he just, oh, Lord have mercy. Amen. My mother would be down on the side of the bed, and I'm like, Jesus, like, oh, my parents ain't crazy. Who they talking to? And I didn't know him. And then them two led me to Christ with a book similar to the ones that I be giving out. That's the reason I wrote that book, is because of the book that led me to Christ. My father told me, El Shaddai. I heard Jonathan say that today. God Almighty. You couldn't tell my father nothing. God Almighty, I don't care. God Almighty, God Almighty. Now, this is a man who had come from 1930s, amen, up into the 80s. So he saw a lot and went through a lot. But God was still God Almighty. And when I got mad at him and got ready to go upstairs and have some words with him while he was downstairs, my mother met me. So you couldn't do that to my mother because she could hear you down the street. Okay, but my father's, it didn't work like that with them. So I had to go upstairs and I was going to tell him off as long as he didn't hear me. But my mother would say, I heard that. Hey, really? So one day, my mother handed me this book and said, come unto me. I went upstairs. She said, you like to read. Don't come downstairs until you read this book. So I went upstairs, read the book. I begged Jesus to come into my life. Devil scared the crap out of me. He was the one, when I saw the devil put Jesus on that cross, well, he thought he did. When he thought he put Jesus up there and wiped him out, but while Jesus was up there, something happened. The devil figured out Genesis 3:15. Finally, he ain't that smart. He really not. If to fight with God, you can't be that smart. But anyway, amen. When I read Jesus got up from the grave, he became my savior. Why? Because nothing scared me more than death. Amen. And so when Jesus got up out that grave, I'm like, they can't kill you. So I believed. I accepted him right then as my Lord and Savior, but I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. My life went on just like it was, except I know God exists now. Then one day I'm on my way to the corner to do my job. Yeah, I worked on the corner. I wasn't no prostitute either. I was a pharmacist. I had pharmaceuticals. Amen. On my way to that corner, the Lord met me. He sure did. And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up in front of Mr. Patterson's house, laying on the grass, crying profusely. I just could not, I didn't know what was going on. I'm hearing voices in my head telling me, you're a son of the Most High God, El Elyon. I know that now, but I didn't know it then. And he said, you're a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm like, okay, I know him from the book I read. And what is the gospel? I didn't quite know what that was, but God told me that's who I am. All the time, Cat, Deaconess Clyburn, I thought I was Sweet G's, the baby maker. Amen. Dead be dead on purpose. That's what I thought I was. But God has told me I was a preacher. Amen. So then, guess what I had to do? I had to give him my body. Amen. And Sweet G's wasn't because I was gay. Sweet G's is because that's what a girl called me. I had cheated on her and got caught. Because I was with this other girl who had just moved here from down south. And she and I ain't going to tell you the rest of it. But anyway, when I came back to school, amen, that afternoon, she said, Sweet G's, take all the girls home for lunch. And that name, yeah, right, that name stuck on me. And I've been, and then they added Sweet G's, the baby maker, because I started having kids. Amen, it just got worse. But when the Lord came into my life, everybody who knew I was so horrible, they believed in Jesus because they said, if he can get you and make you talk right for 2 minutes, he got to be real. Everybody kept coming back saying, the reason I got saved is because I know you. I'm like, well, what do you know about me? I must have been some kind of person that I, amen, because me and Sheila went to a home going not too long ago up at Clora Funeral Home. Remember Vera Clary? Sheila told Vera somewhere that she was married to me. She say, Gerald Overall. She say, yeah, live on 15th Street. Cheryl Overall. Oh, no, you ain't. Yeah, and when we saw her at the home going, she saw me, I saw her. I'm like, what's up, Vera? She's like, come in, you know, and we, you know. But this is like, I got saved in 75. This was in the year 2000 something, not too many years ago. And people still say, wow, I just can't believe that. You say, they see me on Facebook. You say, why? Because they see a difference in me. And they know it's because of Jesus. They know they don't never give me credit. They'll never say, man, you really changed your life. You really straightened up. I'm proud of you. They're like, Jesus knew miracles. Amen. So God says, give me your body. And then he says, give me your mind. I got to change the way you think. How did God change the way I thought? I started reading the Bible. And then I saw that my thoughts were definitely not his thoughts. And my ways in was, I don't think he had any of my ways. But when I read the Bible, next time I went out and I internalized what I read, the next time I went out to clown, I was challenged. I'm like, what is this? So you follow me around? I hadn't understood the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, Lisa. I mean, did get started. And I hadn't understood that he's always with me. And he's going to convict me. Amen. He's going to convince me that I'm a sinner and I need to change. So he started highlighting screwed up stuff in my life. And I'm like, the whole page highlighted. It's your whole life screwed up. So, amen. So what I had to do and what I did was start reading the word of God. And then when I went out, it went with me. And it challenged me. It even made me start working right. I started working like I was working for Jesus and not for sweet G's. Amen. Just getting a paycheck. I used to go to work and my thing was get a check and do as little work as possible. Get a whole check, but don't do no work. Amen. I ain't come here to work. I came to get a check. I hired in here to get paid. I ain't come in here to get sweaty. I ain't come in here to get tired. I ain't come in here to be stressed out. So I got fired about 37 times. Now the other three jobs, I quit those so I could be off over the summer and have fun. Amen. Plus none of them people like me anyway. So, amen. That's the reason all that happened. They were jealous of me. So they fired me. Just because I take days off and come back and they're like, you don't work here no more. Where you been? I'm like, you know, you don't know me. Amen. So when I started working like, well, I never did learn how to work for people. So Jesus fired me altogether from working for people. And then he put me in business for myself, GMO Services. And we went for that for 25 years. But guess what that meant? God is my owner. I thought it was Gerald Marshall Overall. I didn't know it's God's my owner. And so now, Ed, the stuff I used to do to my manager, who couldn't be, my job, my field area was on 8 Mile. They was on Pennsylvania Road in Taylor. So you can't see what I'm doing. Amen. But Jesus was out there. And so now he's doing this transforming stuff. You read Colossians, didn't you? I said, yeah. It said, didn't it say work like you work for me? Didn't it say work not only when they're looking at you to curry their favor? I'm like, but Jesus, you out here all the time. What am I supposed to be, perfect? But anyway, we would see a weed over here, on the side of this, down here. I'm the only person that go in this area, that lady's yard. Jesus, so I'm walking out, Deacon Jones, I'm walking out. I ain't spraying that. I mean, I'm president, I ain't spraying that. And Jesus says, so you see that weed over there, right? Now, I'm showing y'all how transformation works. See that weed over there? I said, yeah, I saw it. She don't even know it's over there. He's like, so you are being paid to do weed control, and you ain't going to control the weed? So I get the little hand cam. I'm walking, man. I go over there. I spray it. You say, thank you. Amen. That's transformation. I ain't have to like it. I had to do it. Jesus didn't like going to the cross, did he? But he had to do it. So we owe God our bodies. Amen. And they're led by our transformed mind. So our mind can fight back. Like over in Galatians chapter 6, you know, you read about chapter 5. You read about the fight between the spirit and the flesh. They ain't together. Your flesh didn't get saved. Your spirit is. Your soul sits in the middle of those two and is going to be challenged every day. Now, when the word of God pops up, like for instance, let me give you an example. Adam and Eve, what? God said, don't eat from that tree, you're going to die, right? And then the devil come along and say, you ain't going to die, you're just going to get gooder, right? Now, who's going to make the choice? Who do you listen to? And see, we go through that all day, every day. We have a choice to make. Our bodies, do they belong to God? Is the flesh getting ready to do something that God don't like? It can't do it. You have to tell it no. Okay, and what about our mind? Is our mind wanting to do something that God's word has said we can't do? Well, then you have to say no. You can't do that. Amen. It's just that simple. It ain't easy to do. And it's not because of the devil, and it ain't because of demons. It's because of you. It's because of me. It's us. We want to do what works for us. Even if God says that's not going to work for you, God told Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. That's not going to work for you. I love how Canton Jones said, he said, stop talking to the snake. He ain't your friend. Because the devil rolled up there like he is real friendly. And see, we got this pitchfork, big old giant horn thing, mean face, red thing going on. No, when the devil come to you, he's going to be your friend. I'm looking out for you. God trying to withhold from you. I'm just telling you the truth, which is a lie. But I'm telling you the truth that if you eat from that tree, your whole life going to be changed. He wasn't lying about that, was he? It changed the whole world to the way it is today. Amen. So we belong to him, so he owns our body. And we live for him by transforming our mind so we can know what? God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for every situation. And now, after he's finished that, he talks to us about the gifts that we have from God. Every one of us, if you believe 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you are baptized into the body, not baptized in water, but baptized into the body of Christ, you were placed in the body of Christ. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive the anointing. You don't need no more anointing. People kill me with that. Jesus, I need an anointing. I need a special anointing. What? The Holy Spirit is not good enough. He is the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. He is the power of God that Jesus promised us in Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you shall receive what?
Power.
So you have the anointing. What we need from time to time is filling. When the Lord fills us to do a certain thing. Amen. That's what we need, filling. But now that we're baptized into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, guess what happened when you got positioned in the body of Christ? He gave you a gift. I'm not talking about your natural gifting like being whatever it is you are in life, an auto mechanic, a doctor, a lawyer, a physicist, whatever it is God has gifted you, this thing that you do, whether somebody paid you or not, the thing you can do, even though nobody taught you how to do it. God gave you that gift. Amen. Did Noah know he was a ship builder?
No.
But God knew and put in him the ability to follow his instructions and build this boat. That's a natural gifting from God. Well, y'all remember Aholiab and Bezalel in the book of, them the boys, right? I love their names. Aholiab and Bezalel. They live on 19th Street. Anyway, these boys, were specially gifted by God. He gave them the Holy Spirit so they could be craftsmen. And they were the one who was going to put together the tabernacle for God. Amen. So, but we have spiritual gifts from God. And you know, at our church, on our church website, if you don't know what your spiritual giftings are, go to our church website, and there's a test on there where you can find out what your gift is, where you're strong and where you're weak. There are 7 majors, right? Okay, that's over there. Now, if you score low in one, that means that's a gift you need to build up. Doesn't mean that's not a gift you don't have. It means that that's a gift you need to build up. Amen. But what the Lord's major concern is with our gifts is, are we humble? Are we operating in humility? Or have we gotten beside ourselves and think we're all that because we can preach, because we can sing? Amen. Because whatever gift God has given you, amen, you've gotten the big head. And you're thinking somehow that you brought something to the table. See, that's why the Lord had me preaching, because I can't preach. That's why he had me write books, because I don't know how to write. I cannot get the big head about something I don't even know how to do. I have to trust, lean, and rely on him. I really have to, because I preach like this. And it is hard not to turn these sermons into a word salad. Okay? Because I'm all over the place. I actually have to start at a point and end at a point. Amen? And I got to end at this point, because Sharon told me I'm out of time. Amen? But don't worry about it. You know how we do. We'll be right back at it next week. Amen? But for this week, just know that God has gifted you, but don't get the big head about that gift. And he also says there, if God has called you to sing, sing. If God has called you to prophesy, prophesy. If God have called you to be an encourager, be an encourager. If he's called you to be a giver, then give. Amen. What the Lord is saying is, be humble about it, but exercise your gift. And I'm going to quit with this, Sharon. Y'all remember the story over in Matthew 25, and there's in Luke chapter something. Okay, in chapter 25, the man said, I'm going out of town. Called in 3 of his servants. He knew their abilities. Don't forget this part. He knew their abilities. And so he gave them, according to their ability, a certain amount of silver or talents. He said, go. And the King James word is occupy, which simply means to do business. Go and do business until I return. Each one of them, with the gift they were given, had the ability to double it. So the one he gave 5 talents to went out, doubled it, because he had the ability. The one he gave 4 talents went out and doubled it. 2 talents, he went out and doubled it. Why? Had the ability. Then there's this guy with the 1 talent who had the ability to do the one thing, but he didn't do anything. Now over in Luke chapter 10, now we picked up something over here. That the Lord gives gifts according to people's abilities. And he knows you can double. He knows you can increase. Right? Now in Luke, he talks about 10 mina. And each person was given 10 mina. Same thing. So what do we say? All 3 of them had 10, so all 3 of them had the ability to double 10. Only one did it. Why? Because he went all in. And one built it up 5 more. He went halfway in. And one didn't do so high. He just didn't put nothing into it. God has given each one of us gifts. Amen. It's our responsibility to find out what that gift is. And once we find out what that gift is, it's our responsibility to operate in it. And remember, be humble, because I am, okay, well, I don't even know what that sign is. That's death sign. Amen. 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 Our challenge is to use the gifts that God has given us. Be humble about it. But know this, the master is going to return. And Jesus knows he gave you a gift. And when he gets back, hopefully you'll be like the one who had the 2 or the 10. You'll come running to him and say, look, Master, you gave me, and I built it up. Jesus gave Sheila and I, Running for Christ Ministries, didn't have no members. Sheila was the first member. Then it was Jonathan. Then it was, what was her name, Char?
Charlie.
She was the first female minister. Jonathan was first male member. 3 people. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus said what? I have called you to do this. I have gifted you to do this. I had to do this. He blessed what I did. Let me tell you something. God gonna only bless what you do. If you don't do nothing, then God's got nothing to bless.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you because you run this entire universe and heaven.
Yeah.
And yet you take this time and all these little house churches across the land, all around the world, to individually be with us. We thank you, Lord, that you come and share with us. We thank you that we get to offer up to you this praise. We get to offer up to you this thanksgiving. Yes, Lord, life is up and down, in and out. But we thank you that for us, you are our God. You are our Savior. You are, Lord, you told us over in Philippians chapter 3 and 20 and 21, you said that we are citizens of heaven. You use words that says we're that right now. And you said, Lord, we look for our Savior, Jesus Christ, to come from there, who by the power that enables him, all power in heaven and earth, will give us glorious bodies like his. So, Lord, when you return, we pray that we work our gifts so raggedy that you can't even hardly recognize it. We thank you, Jesus, for spending this time with us, for caring about us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built. 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.